Jamie, Nigella, Dorina, Rachel, Nigel, Delia, they're so famous they don't even need surnames. But what did people do before they had Jamie for company? Well, the earliest recorded cookbooks in Ireland came from the large country houses. These handwritten manuscripts were recipes for dishes that were eaten not by the masses, but by the moneyed few. Dorina Allen of Ballymaloe Cookery School, County Cork.
The earliest manuscript cookbook I've come across was at Burr Castle, the Parsons family receipt book there, which is about 1660. Absolutely fascinating what they were eating at that time, the household and family and friends were eating. I mean, they had lots and lots of spices, obviously a wonderful kitchen garden, lots of fruit. There were lots of recipes for preserving, pickling, and also they were very keen on rose water. There was rose water in a lot of things, and saffron. So obviously, you know, what was available to them in terms of ingredients from their own garden and the farm and estate, plus from the shops in the Burr at that time sold spices and so on, which it was really quite an eye-opener.
Well, it wasn't until 1937 that the first ever cookbook containing recipes used by ordinary people of Ireland was published. It was the work of Belfast-born cook and writer Florence Irwin. Regina Sexton is a food historian from University College Cork.
Well, first of all, she was a cookery instructor who actually travelled around the landscape, teaching the skills of kind of fundamental cookery to those who were interested. But I think she also had an eye to tradition and the importance maybe of recognising how a group or a community will approach their ingredients and put it together in a systematic way that's reflective of their landscape and their traditions as passed through time.
So you have a kind of regional element then, I presume, to it. I mean, if we look at the different pages here, one that struck me was this peasant's jelly, and she writes, "A County Antrim peasant who once helped me to gather the moss told me she gave jelly made from it to her children for supper, and this was her recipe." Following on from that is sloak, a County Down recipe, a Donegal recipe. She was very respectful then of the variations of what people were cooking around Northern Ireland.
She was respectful in the sense that she wanted to maybe recognise what people were doing with their ingredients. Since the 19th century, you had huge strides were made in the preservation of food, which were maybe making inroads into the naturalness of the diet and the ingredients. And she was kind of against this move towards convenience, even in the 1930s.
And we have here grunts. These are the young of perch. On the County Tyrone side of Loch Ness, they are used for soup. I fancy this because they are so full of bones if fried. And underneath she has grunt soup, Moortown recipe, County Tyrone.
Yeah, and the other thing, I suppose, is that she was a bit of ahead of her time in some ways, and that what she emphasised, I suppose, was this idea of region, locality, and everything being in season.
Isn't this just wonderful? Look, it says cookery notes originally prepared for use in schools and classes for girls working under the schemes of the Department of Agriculture.
For girls.
For girls, exactly. So this was printed in 1949 and priced sixpence. And it's full of lots of good advice, actually, in how to prepare things as well. And lots of simple but very good recipes. There's one there for sea pie. Of course, we have tripe and onions and brawn and beefsteak and kidney pie. And
these are all the things that are coming back in fashion now.
Absolutely. But also then there's barley water and there's jellies and recipes specially adapted to present conditions. Now, this was obviously the end of the war and so on. So we had some very thrifty recipes at the back. And then look at all these marvellous ads. Flack DDT powder and spray. Flack and they're finished. Okay, that's the back of the cookbook.
And all these lovely women presenting their food.
Exactly. With that, look at that for a hairstyle. That's a lovely quiff. And then, of course, a lot of when the gas cookers came in, so to speak, all the gas cooker companies, they wrote cookbooks as well, especially to go with your gas cooker. And there was a lot of really good things in those as well.
A Malahide listener would like to know how to make beef olives. Well, these are small pieces of lean beef, flattened very thin, spread with a good savoury stuffing and rolled up.
Kildare-born Maura Lafferty was a journalist, author and scriptwriter, famous for working on RTE's 1960s drama Tulka Row, who in her spare time wrote Maura Lafferty's cookbook in 1946. Regina Sexton again.
She's a very kind of, I suppose, solid food writer, you know. She gives guidance as to how to cook properly. She is very gentle maybe in her ideas about new ingredients coming in. For example, the one that we've looked at here is her plea for garlic. And she's telling us that garlic, you know, is a good thing, that it introduces kind of a diversity of flavour to your salad, but you need to be gentle with its introduction to the bowl and the ingredients and so on.
And the later book she wrote in 1960, Complete Guide to Good Cooking, and at the back there is this notion of a whole chapter on French cooking made easy. So the influence of the continent then into Irish cooking.
Yeah, the glamour of French cuisine. She has even got another person to write that chapter for her who has got a diploma in Cordon Bleu from Paris. And I suppose what that says to us is that as a nation, we recognised, I suppose, or aspired to the sophistication of French cooking and French cuisine.
For a copy of this month's free ESB radio supplement, in which you'll find recipes for flans of all kinds, as well as our usual features, please send your name and full address to Radio Department ESB Dublin 2. And so until next week, it's goodbye.
Maura Laverty, whom I just completely love. I loved both the way she wrote in such a wonderful, she was so articulate, but also she wrote in such an Irish voice, at the same sort of time as Elizabeth David would have been writing. Maura Laverty's voice is such an Irish voice, and she was also a travel coach, but she'd lived in Spain for a while. So very interesting recipes, many of them really delicious, actually. So I particularly loved Kind Cooking, and there was Never No More, and then, of course, she did Full and Plenty and all of those, and along then came Monica Sheridan, people like that.
The opening music to the 1962 programme on RTE, The Jacobs Housewife Club, hosted by Harry Thulier. Harry's guest on this edition was a Mrs. Neil Sheridan, otherwise known as Monica.
It's the Jacobs Housewives Club. Harry Thulier here in the chair for another of our club meetings that this week and in the weeks to come we'll be bringing you at home all that's new, all that's news and all that's interesting in this woman's world.
She was Ireland's first ever celebrity chef, hosting Monica Sheridan's Kitchen on RTE television in the 1960s.
I get terribly irritated, very cross, very bad-tempered when my husband invariably comes home late for meals. And I'm sure if I were a much more patient, much more timid little woman, he might be, well, it might suit him a great deal better, maybe.
She was wonderful because she was so relaxed with her food. This is Ireland opening up, being more sophisticated, integrating new influences into the diet, like she has a section on rice, pasta, and she explains to us what spaghetti and so on and things like that are.
And introducing, as you say, things like spaghetti, but also cheeses like Parmesan.
Yeah, now she has a wonderful, wonderful story here about Parmesan cheese. And she says to the reader, Parmesan cheese is a very hard cheese. Forget about that. Don't bother buying it. What you do instead is go out and buy a block of cheddar, big block, put it into your fridge, because the fridge is a new sophisticated thing, unwrapped, and leave it go hard and grate it on your pasta.
What a substitute. I'm sure students up and down the land are inspired by that. And I'm just looking here, how to preserve eggs. And this is what Monica says. Those of you who have motor cars and relatives living in less accessible parts of the country should drive out to see them in the spring of the year and, incidentally, pick up some fresh eggs.
Ireland was, for the most part, a rural economy. There was a great bank of knowledge and way with dealing with food. One of them being here, your reference to preserving eggs and so on, you know.
Of all the cookbooks you have, which is the cookbook that you will always go back to for knowledge and inspiration?
Well, I mentioned Kind Cooking as one of my favourites, but actually, if I was allowed to only choose one cookbook, this isn't going to be an Irish cookbook, it would be French Provincial Cooking by Elizabeth David. And also, I love to read and reread Alice Waters' cookbooks of Chez Panisse. Those would be the ones. But if I was asked about Irish food, I think it's Kind Cooking.
Then with one more